This is Will.
This is Chad.
And this is Two Man Congress.
Welcome to the show.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about immigration and citizenship. And they're two separate things, but so many people talk about them as if they are one thing. So we're going to talk about them separately, as they should be.
It should be pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll be talking primarily about like three different things throughout this episode. So we'll be going over the types of immigration, also the citizenship process, and then we're going to be playing a game at the end, which should be really cool.
Because this is our 10th episode, our 10th full episode, you should say. So because if it's that, this is our celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of doing a debate, we're going to just discuss it, and then stay tuned at the end so that you can actually watch us play the game. We'll tell you what the game will be when we get to it.
Yeah. And if you're listening on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, our YouTube episode will be coming out, so you can watch the game from there on YouTube. And that's also another option that you might have. So without further ado, let's hop into it. So, Will, let's talk a little bit about all the different types of immigration. So can you list like the number? I know that there's a lot.
Yep. So there are five different main groups or categories, and then there are a lot of subcategories underneath it. So I'll just list off the five, and then we can go into depth a bit more about what each category is and what each category does. So the first one would be asylum or refugee. The second would be visitor status, also known as non-immigrant visas, or also known as temporary resident status. And then the third thing is immigrant visas, also known as a permanent resident, also known as a green card.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth thing is
undocumented.
Right. Undocumented is a group. And then the fifth one would also be immigrants who obtain a citizenship status.
Okay, sweet.
So those are the five. We can get a little bit more in depth with them now. Some of them will be more in depth. Others have too much information, so we'll just kind of skip over it. And then we'll give you places where you can look up that information in the meantime.
Awesome. So let's just kind of brush over the citizenship process and the different, like the number of processes that you have to go through.
Yep.
So how many are there? We'll just like be broad about it.
Mm-hmm. So we can talk about that, and then I'd like to go back to the
immigration,
to the types of immigration, so that we can talk a little bit about the subcategories. As far as the process goes for citizenship, so technically it goes back even further than this. The first thing that you need to do is meet the eligibility requirements, and that goes into, you have a visitor visa for school or something, then you make that a green card through employment, and then you want to become a citizen, so you go through this process. The first one would be meeting the eligibility. The step two would be filling out the application. Step three would be having the interview, and then step four would actually taking the oath so that you can be a naturalized citizen of the United States.
Awesome. All right, so let's, now that the audience has an idea of what steps we will be talking about, let's just kind of go into the different subcategories. So let's just start with, I'm interested to hear more about visa and green card waiters.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the different subsets that we have for those?
So there are two types of visas. You have your non-immigrant visa, and then you have your immigrant visa. The immigrant visa is another way of saying a green card. The non-immigrant visa is another way of saying a temporary visitor. So for those who have non-immigrant visas, those are people who are here for school, international students. You have athletics. You have people from other countries who are on,
like political leaders.
Yeah, exactly. Foreign officials. And then, of course, you have tourists.
Yeah.
And that's probably the largest category
of visa waiters.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So of these, the majority of immigrants, quote-unquote immigrants, because these are temporary people coming to the United States, of these people, the visitors make up the bulk. They're temporarily here. Some of those temporary visas last longer than other visas. Mm-hmm. For example, a tourist visa will last a couple of weeks, a student visa a few years, depending on how long they're in school.
Yeah. So that covers like all the, like, I feel like we covered
the non-immigrant ones.
Yeah, the non-immigrant ones. So let's just kind of, like, what are the green card people look like that are trying to get a green card?
So you have green card holders or immigrant visas. Mm-hmm. And those terms, like I said before, are interchangeable. And there's a whole bunch of ways that you can, there's a whole bunch of necessary ways that people can do it. And it depends on if you're a citizen already and you're trying to bring your family over, if you're a green card holder already and you're trying to bring your family over. Because there are limits on all of these things. You can only issue out so many visas, non-resident and permanent residents as well, because you have to make sure that you don't overflood the system so that there's not a backlog. So you have limits on all these things, which is why it's kind of hard to get a visa, especially for those who are seeking green cards because of that limit. So there are four main types. Well, there are actually a lot of main types, but each of them have their limits. You have religious people who are coming over to do their ministry. You've got employment, and there are a whole bunch of preferences there. And then you have family members of permanent residents. In other words, family members of green card holders. And then you have family members of people who are already citizens.
Mm. That's cool. So for family members, let's just take this specific example. So you've got a citizen that wants to bring his family over. Mm-hmm. How does that work with the green card?
So citizens actually have a whole bunch of other advantages that non-citizens don't. Their limits are much higher, meaning they can bring their whole family in one go, whereas a permanent resident or a green card holder
can't do the same thing.
Exactly. So a citizen can bring his whole family or her whole family, kids, parents, immediate family, I should say, with one trip, while others may have to come over time.
Okay.
Or a spouse.
Sweet. So I feel like that covered a good, well, I guess we didn't really cover asylum seekers or refugees, so we'll just go over that real fast. What are some of the subcategories there? Like,
so asylum seekers and refugees, they're people who are fleeing their country. And they both go through a different process. They're both different. We won't go over those differences now, because even though they are different and they go through different processes, it ultimately goes into the same dealio where they both can apply for green cards. Actually, refugees must apply for a green card. Asylum seekers have the choice to apply for a green card. But ultimately, it leads to them becoming permanent residents of the a country that they are fleeing to.
Okay.
And then you have undocumented as well, as you had talked about, where those are people who didn't obtain a visa,
didn't go through any of the documentation,
and crossed over the border and are here without those documents in hand.
Let's talk a little bit about so we just barely talked about the
refugees and asylum seekers.
Yeah. So we just talked about refugees and asylum seekers. We got our undocumented citizens, which are people that didn't go through the process of getting the paperwork done and came to the country, so they don't have those documents in hand.
Yep, exactly.
So we all talked about that. So let's talk about immigrants that seek citizenship in the country. So sounds what are good. All the different points there, different steps?
Well, so first thing that I want to mention before hopping into those steps is that there are a lot of rights that citizens have that immigrants don't. So even if you're here with the green card, there are some things that you can't do because you're not a citizen. That's voting. Mm-hmm. That's obtaining a U.S. passport. citizens are protected from deportation. because <That's fair. laughs> even though you have a green card, there is still that risk of being deported. Like if you do a crime that makes it expensive to renew your green card, the U.S. can revoke your green card and deport you.
Yeah. Can you think of any celebrities that have been deported from the U.S.?
Can you?
I think Justin Bieber was deported one time back to Canada. But I could be
I don't know the citizenship status.
If that's wrong, just cut it out, Will. Anyways, so... Yeah, if that's wrong, just cut it out. Yeah. Do your research beforehand. Actually, let me check to see if...
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so...
In the meantime, I'll just mention the other couple of things. So those are kind of the direct things. There are two kind of indirect benefits from having citizenship. The first thing is you actually have a lot of employment and income benefits because a lot of employers like seeing citizenship status because it means that they're more secure in the job. And so I saw this statistic where those immigrants who have obtained citizenship status make about 50 to 70% more money than those who are only holding a green card.
Sweet. Okay, I found the story. So what it looks like is that there was question about him being deported after a DUI in 2014, but...
So he has dual citizenship then?
Yeah. Or I don't know if he has dual citizenship, but he wasn't deported after his DUI for this article doesn't really explain it. But yeah, that's interesting. I remember hearing about that in like junior high or something like that. Like, oh, Justin Bieber got deported or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know how much of that to believe.
Yeah. I remember hearing about it, but I never researched it until we're recording this, which is probably the worst time to try to research it. But anyways, so he was, they talked about deporting him after his DUI back in 2014, but they weighed the matter and just ultimately decided not to deport him.
Gotcha.
So, yep, there's the answer.
Alrighty. Well, the last benefit of being a citizen is that you have a feeling of pride in patriotism, kind of like how we feel about this podcast.
Heck yeah. Sweet.
But now I can go into those steps more thoroughly.
Sweet.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah.
So step one is meeting the eligibility requirements. So there are a lot of eligibility requirements. For those who are obtaining citizenship status, you need to be at least 18 years old to fill out the application. You need to have lived in the United States for at least 5 years, and you've needed to live in your current state for at least 3 months. And there's other things that as well where you need to prove that you've been in the United States for a certain amount of time, and there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah. I do have a quick question.
Yeah.
So if a kid from, let's just use like Europe or something like that, came to the United States before he was 18, like say he was like 12. Does he still have to wait till he's 18 to become a citizen, or could he just do like the 5 years in the United States and become a citizen?
I like 17.
Yeah.
You have to wait till you're 18.
You have to wait still? Mm-hmm. Okay, sweet.
He could be a green card holder,
but he'll have to wait till he's 18 before he could do all the citizenship stuff.
Correct.
Awesome. Sweet. All right. Anything else in that area, or should we move on?
We can move on to step two.
All right. Sweet. So,
step two is filling out the application.
So, yeah, that's just pretty extensive. Like, you just fill out the whole paperwork.
Yeah. And there are several parts of it. The thing that I had read is part 12 is the hardest part of it because you need to answer all these questions about whether or not you're an alcoholic, or if you've been to jail, or if you've ever committed a crime. And if you answer yes to any of those questions, you have to create a whole addendum to the application explaining why those events have taken place. And so the application gets pretty extensive. It's probably the quickest part to go through, though, because this is a whole time-consuming process. The biggest thing is going to be waiting. and specifically waiting in between step two and step three, which is having the citizenship interview. So the interview, the purpose of the interview is to make sure that you're proficient in your English, to make sure that you're proficient in your writing, and also with your knowledge about United States civics, yeah, the history and that kind of stuff.
So what's the general time of the interview?
It takes about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So not long at all.
Yeah, the interview is quick. It's the waiting in between filling out the application and the interview that takes
a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So as far as the tests go, in the interview, that's where they take the test. You hear about the naturalization test. There are two that are taken. The first is your English test, which is you need to speak proficient English. You need to read 1 of 3 sentences correctly, and then you need to write 1 of 3 sentences correctly. And then you have the civics test, where it used to be there were 100 questions and you only were asked 10 and you needed to get 6 right. Now there are 138 questions and you're asked 20 and you need to make sure that you get 12 right.
Okay. Sweet. That works great for me.
to pass the test, yeah, at least.
Yeah. So what happens if you fail the test?
So you can retake it, mm-hmm, within a certain time frame. And then if you fail it a second time, you need to start over the application.
There you go. So for rumors that if you don't pass it, you're deported, all that stuff, probably not true.
Yeah, not true. If you have a green card and you're trying to become a citizen, they're not going to nullify your green card just because you failed the citizenship test.
There we go. Sweet. Let's talk a little bit about step 4, which is the oath process, the naturalization of the citizen, or the naturalization ceremony. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. And this is actually kind of a cool thing for me to bring up as well, because I had the chance to attend a naturalization ceremony when I was in Alaska.
That's cool.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of service, and we had the opportunity to sit in and watch them take their oath. People who were becoming citizens, to watch them take their oath and become citizens of the United States. And it was kind of cool. I didn't know what was going on at the time. I was only 18 or 19. I didn't know what naturalization was, and I've obviously learned since, and I was learning during. But during it, it was cool. They read what country the person was coming from and their name, and then they read through everybody, and everybody applauded for everyone. There was, I don't know how many, over 100 people, or just around 100 people. We'll say that. My memory's failing me there. But we had all these people who had their country read, where they were coming from. Well, their country of origin, I should say. And then all together, they were given the oath and became naturalized citizens of the United States. So it's a really cool. As soon as the oath is done, you're a citizen of the United States. They'll just sign your paper, and you're good to go.
There we go. That's pretty cool. Sweet.
One thing I want to do before we move on to our game is that I actually want to read the Oath of Allegiance.
Sweet. Let's hear it.
Alrighty. So, when you are going to be naturalized citizen of the United States, here's the oath and what they say. Says, I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God.
Awesome. Absolutely beautiful. All right.
Well, we want to thank each and every single one of you who are listening for currently listening to the show, because we can't do it without you and without your listening and without your support. And one of the ways that you can support us is on Patreon.
Precisely. Without Patreon, we'd be broke. It's plain and simple.
We're still broke.
Yeah, all this stuff, completely impossible without your support. So thank you so much for those that are currently supporting us. Y'all are fantastic. And if you are interested in this comment, we'll leave a link below where you could find us on Patreon and support us. And if you choose to sign up with Patreon, you get different benefits. And you could look at those on the website and it'll be really good.
Yep, more benefits than just listening to the show, such as being actively engaged in the show and things like that. So go ahead, go to patreon.com/twomancongress. That's spelled TWOMANCONGRESS. And we'll go ahead and get into the game.
Heck yeah. All right, we'll see you there. All right. So,
you ready for the game?
Yeah.
It's just going to determine who goes first.
Sweet.
All right.
Let's do it.
Yep. Heads or tails? Okay. Whoever gets it right gets to choose who goes first.
All right. Heads.
Okay.
All right. We're at heads.
Okay. So you choose who goes first.
All right, William. Let's see it.
All righty. So here's how this is going to work. We are going to randomize all 128 questions. And from that randomized list, it's just to make it fair. That way you're not picking and choosing what questions you want to do to try and mess me up and vice versa.
Okay.
So we'll show this recording of our screen so that you guys can see that we are just now randomizing this. So that is fair. Not predetermined in any way, shape, or form. So we'll randomize these selections. And Chad, what you're going to do is from this list, you're just going to choose the top 20 from them. And you're going to find those questions on the test. And you're going to read those out.
Sweet.
So you're going to start on question 44, and then 105, and then so on and so forth down the first 20.
Sweet. All right.
And as you can tell from the recording, I'm not cheating by pulling up the document myself. So hopefully I get more than 12, because I need to pass the test, first of all. And then my main priority is to beat you.
Yep, that is true. Okay, so let me just move my computer over so you can't see it. Okay.
Yep.
So who vetoes bills?
The president.
Good work. That was an easy one. All right. 105. Let's go over to that one. Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II?
That was FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yes, sir. Okay. So let's go to 54. How many Supreme Court justices are usually needed to decide a case?
Usually needed? Well, they currently have 9.
Yes.
Okay.
But that is wrong. Well, I said...
Is it going to be 1? Because...
The answer... Should I give the answer?
Sure.
The answer is 5.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just agreeing with the fact that, yes, we have 9 Supreme Court justices.
Gotcha.
But
I'll mark that as incorrect. I don't know why. Does it say what?
No, it doesn't. It just says
5?
Yeah, number 5.
Okay.
Okay. So, let's see. Go to 30. What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives now?
Current? That's Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, sir. Okay, good work. 28. All right. Why does each state have 2 senators?
It has 2 senators because each state can have equal representation. So the House of Representatives is by population. The Senate is by state. So each state has equal representation.
Yeah, that counts.
Okay.
It's good enough.
What does it say?
Equal representation for small states.
Okay, yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, and then there's one more. Let's see. So there's the Connecticut Compromise.
Okay.
Or whatever. So the Great Compromise is also what it's known
gotcha.
As. But yeah, you got it.
Okay.
It's just worded differently.
Yep.
But all right. So let's go to 59. Name one power that is only for the states.
Only for the states?
Yes.
Well, the voting power. Well, to create voting laws.
That isn't on this one.
Okay. But pretty much anything that the Constitution doesn't say goes to the Congress.
Yeah.
Is that on there?
Like, that's very broad. They have specific
okay.
instances. Do you want me to name them off
yeah.
for you?
I'll mark that as incorrect for me.
So, provide schooling and education is one. Provide protection, police.
Oh, yeah, police powers, of course. Mm-hmm.
Provide safety, fire departments.
Yeah.
Give a driver's license.
Okay.
Approve zoning and land use.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Oops. All right. Let's see. So, 27... 84. Why were the Federalist Papers important?
They defended the Constitution.
Yes, that's good enough.
What'd it say?
They help people understand the Constitution.
Okay.
They support passing the U.S. Constitution.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Now let's go to 27. How many senators does each state have?
Two.
Good work. Question 89. Alexander Hamilton is famous for many things. Name one.
Well, he wrote the Federalist Papers along. Okay.
Yep, that's one. And I'll just name off a couple. So one answer you could give is first Secretary of the Treasury. One of the writers of the Federalist Papers, which Will said, helped establish the first
central bank.
Mm-hmm. In the United States.
Anyone who has watched Hamilton will know that answer pretty thoroughly.
Yeah. And then helped George Washington and member of the Constitutional Congress.
Awesome. Yep.
Sweet. Question 68. How many people become U.S. citizens? How can people become U.S. citizens? I worded that wrong.
I mean, I guess they follow the naturalization process?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
naturalization?
Yeah.
Okay. Or born into the country. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I could list anything. Okay.
Yeah. Anything.
Naturalized, born into the country, or... I guess there's dual citizenship as well, where born to parents as citizens.
Yeah. All that stuff. What is the capital of your state?
Salt Lake City.
There you go. It's pretty simple. All right. All the way down here. Okay. Why did the United States enter the Vietnam War? That's question 111.
I'm going to miss this.
it's a pretty simple one, but...
Well,
it's simple to me because I can see the answers.
I mean, it's because North Vietnam was invading South Vietnam, right?
That's close. Like, I'm not going to give it to you.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I'll mark incorrect on that.
The reason why... Well, it says to stop the spread of communism.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't... Well, yes, it was because they invaded...
It had to be the Vietnam War.
Yeah. I know.
I can tell you what the Cold War was about. Yeah. I can tell you what World War II was about.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, we'll go to 61. Who is the governor of your state now?
That's Cox. Governor Cox. I can't remember his first name, but it's Governor Cox.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I know I'm right.
The governor. Yeah. 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 It's Cox. Mm-hmm. Why did the United States enter World War One?
Germany was invading.
Yes, that counts.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because Germany attacked U.S. ships.
Gotcha.
To support the Allied powers, England, France, and Italy, and Russia.
I was probably a little too broad. If I had been taking that test, they probably would have been asking for more specific, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'll count it. I'll allow it. All right, back to 60. What is the purpose of the 10th Amendment?
Any powers that didn't go to the government belongs to the state or the people.
Precisely. Good work. All right. Thomas Jefferson, question 87. Thomas Jefferson is famous for many things. Name one.
Declaration of Independence.
Yep. He was also the third president of the United States. Doubled the size of the United States at the Louisiana Purchase.
That's true.
Also was the first Secretary of State. Founded the University of Virginia.
Did not know that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Also, writer of the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Many things Thomas Jefferson did.
Yep.
Question number 3. Name one thing the U.S. Constitution does.
Well, it establishes the government.
Yes. It also defines powers of government, defines the parts of government, and protects the rights of the people.
Nice.
There we go. So, question 14. All right, question 14. How many documents influences the U.S. Constitution? Name one.
Well, the Declaration of Independence was one. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say the Articles of Confederation were another, since that was what was the document right before the Constitution. I'm not looking at your thing.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
There are a couple of other documents.
Federalist Papers. I could go through the rest.
Yeah, go for it.
The Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers.
Oh, yeah.
The Virginia Declaration of Rights, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, the Mayflower Compact,
and
so forth. Okay, so...
Two more.
All right, 72. Question 72. It is important for all men age 18 through 25 to register for the Selective Service. Name one reason why.
To defend your country.
That's good enough.
Okay.
It says civic duty. I'll give you that.
Okay.
And then it also says required by law.
Well, yeah. I guess I could have said that one.
And makes the draft fair if needed.
Yeah.
Sweet. And the last one is 33. Who does a member of the House of Representatives represent?
The people of their district.
Yes, that counts.
Sounds
citizens
good.
In their district, people from their congressional district.
Yep.
Yeah, just district.
Their constitution. constituents.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, I got 17 out of 20, so.
That's not bad. Well, good work.
If we're tied, I'll give it to you because there is one of them that probably could have used with a little more information.
Yeah. But it's all good. You did well.
Alrighty. Your turn. I'm going to randomize yours now. Okay. Mm-hmm. If any of these are the same ones that Chad asked me, I'll just move on to the next one. Sweet. That way.
And just tilt your computer so I can't see it. I can still kind of see it.
Well, don't right, look.
There we go. I still... Okay, yeah. I'm completely blind.
Alrighty. Lucky one to start off with. Okay. Right. Ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Question 43. Who signs bills to become a law?
I'm going to say the Congress.
No.
No? Really?
It's the president. It's the president. Who signs the bill?
Oh. That was embarrassing.
But you're right in thinking that Congress...
It goes over the bill and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they vote on it.
Yeah, it's fair. See if I'm worthy to be a U.S. citizen. Otherwise, they'll have to deport me.
Oh, no.
I don't know where I'd go, but...
Okay. Name one of the wars fought by the United States in the 1900s.
There's World War One.
Yep.
World War Two.
Yep.
Vietnam.
Yep.
The Cold War.
Like, Cold War's not, really not mentioned war. Because it wasn't an actual battle.
The Korean War.
Yep. You got a lot of them. The other two that you didn't mention, you mentioned Vietnam, was the Gulf War. So
that makes sense.
How many amendments does the U.S. Constitution have?
It's a toughie. I'm going to say, don't they have like 20?
There's 18? More than 20.
More than 20? How many is there?
27.
27. Gosh dang it. All right.
Why do U.S. representatives serve shorter terms than U.S. senators?
Let's see. Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Why do the representatives serve shorter terms than senators?
Because senators are cooler. I'm not sure if that really counts. But I would say...
This is a hard one. I wouldn't have gotten this.
Yeah. So is it because senators have a greater influence? Or I know that's probably not the answer. What does it say?
It says to more closely follow public opinion. Because there's so much turnover, you can really just follow what the public wants.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, 31. Who does the U.S. senator represent?
The people in his state.
Correct. What is the rule of law?
The rule of law.
Yep.
Like enforcing the law? Does that work?
I'll give that to you. It means that everyone needs to follow the law. Okay, when was the Declaration of Independence adopted?
Was it 17...
The exact date.
The exact date?
Yep.
Oh, the whole date, though. I'm not going to get that.
Yeah, you will.
Will I?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say... this is so completely wrong. It's been so long since I've taken a history class.
Just think. Think for a minute about holidays.
Oh. yeah. Anyways, so I would say I'm just trying to remember the exact year now.
Yep.
So 19...
You mean 17.
Right? Yeah, 17.
You did say 17 earlier, yeah, so I'll give 17. You that correction.
All right, so 17... 1792 July 4th. I know that's completely wrong, but what is it?
76.
76, okay. Yep.
Who lived in America before Europeans arrived?
Native Americans.
Correct. Alrighty, 35. Some states have more representatives than other states. How come?
Because some states are simply bigger, like yep. California, for example. Like I was looking at the statistics for New York City compared to the entire state of Utah. So Utah's got like a population of like 4 million people. New York City alone has like 13 million.
Yeah, yep. That's exactly why. It's the size of the state. Okay. What founding document said American colonies were free from Britain?
That was the Declaration of Independence.
Correct.
There we go.
23. Who is one of your U.S. senators now?
Mitt Romney, right?
Yep. And then the other is Senator Lee.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
All right. Ooh, good luck on this one.
No.
How many voting members are in the House of Representatives?
Let's see. Is it 100?
Nope, that's the Senate.
House of Representatives.
I'll give you another shot at that. Okay.
150.
Nope. All right. 435.
Oh. Yeah, that was...
There's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Why did the United States enter World War II?
Because of the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Nice. That's the literal thing. First thing mentioned. The second thing is to support the Allied powers and to oppose the Axis powers. Who can vote in federal elections, run for federal office, and serve on a jury in the United States?
All three of those at once?
Yep. What kind of people, I should say.
What kind of people? Okay. Is it talking about like judicial people? Or just like your average U.S. citizen?
Yep. Okay. There you go.
All right. As worded interesting.
I probably didn't say it the best either.
I was like, this has to be a trick question. Like, that's anybody. All right.
What do we show loyalty to when we say the Pledge of Allegiance?
The United States of America.
Correct.
Yeah, better get that one.
Yeah. Okay, the president
King George.
The president can no longer serve. Who becomes president?
The vice president.
Yep.
Yee.
What is Veterans Day? Or really, what is Veterans Day for?
It's to celebrate our veterans in the military.
Yep. Name one power that is only for the federal government.
Only for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. This is like my first thought was military, but
keep going along those lines.
Protect borders. No, that's not 100% true. One sec.
I'll give you the military. Create an army.
Create an army.
Yeah.
Okay. But I thought states could create like their own like militia.
I mean, they're state militias, but yeah. The federal government creates armies. 41. Name one of the powers of the president.
Sign bills.
Yes.
What are some of the other ones?
He vetoes bills.
There we go.
He enforces the law. He is the commander chief of the military. And he is the chief diplomat.
Wow. Incredible.
Those are the other acceptable answers. I would say there's other responsibilities, such as delivering the State of the Union. But those are his main powers. 118. Last question. Name one example of an American innovation. I could also say invention.
Let's see. The invention of Hershey's chocolate.
Okay. A famous one.
A famous one. Let me think. Like, there's a lot, but I'm trying to think of one that comes to mind. The Wright brothers, planes.
Yeah, the airplanes listed on the list.
Sweet. What are some of the other ones?
The light bulb, cars.
I wasn't sure if cars were invented in the U.S. or Europe. I couldn't remember that detail.
Yeah, skyscrapers, the assembly line, landing on the moon. Not mood. Integrated circuits.
There we go. That's pretty cool.
All right. Let's count this up. Let's see. One.
I'll count yours if you count mine. One, two, three, four, five. 5, 6, 7, 8.
You missed 9, 5.
10.
I missed 3.
I'll just do 1, 2, 3. Yep.
Not bad, though. We both passed.
There we go. Just going to give you a high five, like a little clap, but it's all good.
We can do that.
Crisp. Sweet. Anyways.
But because I won, that means I'm going to decide your punishment to do next time.
Oh, we're doing punishment?
Yep.
Shit. I thought we cut that out. Yeah. All right. I'm okay with that. I'm chill.
Don't worry. It won't be that big of a punishment.
Yeah, so long as it's not like hot sauce to the eyes or some impractical
stuff. No. Why would I do such a thing to your...
Nothing like that. So next week, I've got an episode that's coming out, and it should be really good. So stay tuned for that next week. But yeah, that concludes this episode of Two Man Congress, and that's great.
Yep. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't our pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice, and with that, the fourth thing is if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.